the 10th chapter. Romans chapter 10 in your Scofield Bible, page 1203. And we'll be reading in unison the first three verses. Romans 10, verses 1 through 3, page 1203. And let's stand as we always do for the reading of God's Word. You might want to be ready to turn the page as we read these verses in unison. Begin with me then on verse 1, and we'll read through verse 3. Ready? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And let's pray. And Father, we have come to expect good things of these services. And through the years, we've never been disappointed. We've come to this place time and again, Sunday after Sunday, service after service, and how richly you've blessed us. Thank you for all the accumulated blessing and help and demonstrations of your power. Today we need something more. I'm not sure what it is, but I believe you've spoken to the heart of the man of God, and I believe that you can help us through him and help our hearts and our minds to be ready to receive that which you've intended for us. And Lord, we've got something good on the burner again. And we pray that you'd help us to take advantage of all that's done, of all that's said here. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Parks came by my office one time. I had never met him. He said, I want to sing in church. I said, when? And I think I made a wise decision. I enjoy living is the reason I did that. I want to speak this morning on why Christians aren't happy. Or I could call it, why don't you come back for seconds? Why Christians aren't happy, or why don't you come back for seconds? We read a while ago, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. There are two righteousnesses there, and I want to talk to you about why. I'll tell you, there are two groups of people here this morning. There are Christian people this morning who are happy in the Lord, and there are people, Christian people who are miserable. And I'm going to tell you why you're miserable this morning and tell you how you can be happy in the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, bless us as we think of things eternal for these moments together. Give us the attention of all the people and use this service, this simple preacher and this great profound truth to transform lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's suppose that when I had my bout with pneumonia, I suppose that when I got where I could eat again, that they brought me some food, and I ate a few bites, and the doctor said, hold it, that's enough, you can live now. You're going to make it now. I said, hold it, doc, I'm not full. He said, it's okay, it's all you can have. And or suppose I had said, let me know, doc, when I've eaten enough where I can live. And so all I want to do is just eat enough now where I can live. I just don't want to die. I just want to be sure I'm going to live. Well, not me, brother. I ate even the second quarter pounder with cheese that day. And that's the reason Christians aren't happy. Christian people come to the spiritual table, eat enough to keep them out of hell, and that's the size of it. But there are seconds in the Bible. I want to call your attention. Let me give you an example. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. Isn't that wonderful? I'm come that they might have life. Now, how do you have that life? It's very plain and very easy to find that out. in John 3:15, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life, the Bible says, 1 John 5:12. He that hath not the Son hath not life. So the minute that you believe in Christ, then that saves you from hell. And that's a wonderful thing. But Jesus goes on to say something else in John 10:10. He says, I am come that you might have life, and there's some more life there, that you may have it more abundantly. Now, there are two groups of people in this room this morning. I'm trying to help you today, and I'm more interested in helping you than I am preaching a good sermon this morning. There are two groups of people in this room this morning. There are those that have life who are miserable. There are those that have life and life more abundantly who are happy. You see, when I came to Christ, I found what a wonderful thing it was to be saved. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. My name is written in the book of life. If I died, I'd go to heaven. If the trumpet sounded now, I'd rise to meet my Lord in the air. But I found out there were seconds. And so I came back for seconds. And that is life more abundantly. Now, what's the difference in life and life more abundantly? I am come that you might have life. What is that? That means I've come that you might have eternal life. You're going to go to heaven when you die. But he said, come back for seconds. There's something else. He said, life, have life, that's to go to heaven. Life more abundantly is to have heaven while you're here. Now, that's the difference. Now, those of you that just got inside the gate and sat down are going to heaven, but you're not happy. You're miserable. When the preacher preaches against some kind of a sin, it pricks your conscience and you're miserable. When the preacher preaches on prayer, you know you don't pray much and you're miserable. When the preacher preaches on living in the Bible, you know you don't read the Bible except a verse every now and then, and you're miserable. When the preacher preaches on being faithful to church, you know you come on Sunday morning, that's about all of it, and you're miserable. But Jesus offers you more than just life eternal. Jesus offers you more than a home in heaven. He offers you more than an insurance policy from hell. Jesus says, hey, you came to me that you might have life. Hey, come back, I got some more. I have a second life for you. And that life is life more abundantly. Ah, there's a Christian life that nothing is like in all the world. The Christian life that the world can't match. Now, the world can match your present joy of just being saved. In fact, I say the happiest person in this world is a person who has life and has it more abundantly. That means a Christian who's come back to give all to God. The second happiest person, I'm not talking about joy now, I'm not talking about peace, I'm talking about just happiness. Fun, and so forth. The second happiest person is the unsaved man. The third happiest person is that person who's saved, has the Holy Spirit in his body, but he does not come back for seconds. This morning, why don't you just jump on in? The water's fine. Why don't you just decide to not only have life, and it's wonderful to go to heaven when you die. But I'm so tired of hearing Christians say, would I go to hell if I did this? Well, there's something more to the Christian life than just not going to hell. There's a joy and a peace and a thrill and an excitement and a happiness. You can see them in the services. You can see their faces. They'll slip out during the closing prayer before the invitation. They're not interested in seeing anybody saved. They came to church. They've done their dues. They paid their dues. They've done their duty. They've saved their conscience. And they're going to heaven. And then they'll leave this place to go out and live like the world, act like the world, drink like the world, talk like the world, sing like the world, dress like the world. And all the time, the Holy Spirit of God is pricking their conscience while they're doing it. Now, Jesus said, come to me. If you're not saved, come to me, and I'll give you eternal life. I'll give you a home in heaven. I'll forgive your sins. I'll make you my child. But that does not necessarily make you happy. It'll give you some sort of satisfaction that you're not going to go to hell. But he says, hey, come back for seconds. Come back till you get full. No use to nibble. Come back till you get full. You may come back for seconds. You may have heaven later, but bless God, you may have heaven now. Oh, well, that's what John Peterson meant when he wrote, heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
That's what Fanny Crosby meant when she said, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And I'm here to tell you today that you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to have heaven. Someday you'll be in heaven, but while you're getting there, you can have heaven in you. And you come to Jesus for life, that means that someday you'll go to heaven. But if you come back for seconds and have life abundantly, that means that Jesus, heaven will come in and live inside of you. Now listen to me. I want the best for you. I'm not mad at you, trying to talk you into anything. I'm not trying to make you miserable the rest of your life. I'm trying to keep you from being miserable the rest of your life. Why don't you just come back and say, "Jesus, I want this abundant life. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all." But there's something else when I came to Christ. I came to Christ and I got rest. And that's wonderful. It talks about in Hebrews about that rest that Jesus gives. What is that rest? The rest to go to sleep at night and know if you died, you'd go to heaven. That rest that gives you the peace of God to know that if you had a car wreck on the highway, or if the earth opened up under us today, and we had an earthquake here like that in San Francisco. One of our sailors is from San Francisco. And the fellows were giving a while ago where they're from, names and where they're from. And he gave his name. Fellas, I'm so-and-so, and I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. Fellas, I'm so-and-so, and I'm in New York. And he said, I'm so-and-so, and I'm from what's left of San Francisco, California. But we never know. The peace is this. The rest is this. That I have come to Christ, and I have the assurance if a hole opened up and we dropped in it now, I'd be with Him. That's rest. That's rest. And that's assurance. Oh, but look, I found out there were some seconds. I found out that there's a second rest. In fact, it says in Hebrews 4, 9 and 10, "There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God." Now, I came to Christ, He gave me rest. And I'll tell you one thing, well, there's not enough money in this world to make me live 1 second not knowing I'm saved. I mean, you're foolish. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. You don't have to have your sins recorded against you. They can be wiped away. You can be justified in the sight of Almighty God. And know if the trumpet of the Lord should sound and the time should be no more and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair and the saints of earth are gathered over on the other shore, you can know, bless God, that you'll be there. And that is a rest incomparable. But there remaineth, the Bible says, a rest to the people of God. What is that rest? It's very simply this. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, wait a minute, he said. Wait a minute. Okay, you got the rest. You're saved. You're going to heaven now. But he said there's something else. I feel sorry for you Christians that just want to just get inside. You want to sing your rock music and enjoy your rock music, but you want to go to heaven. And you want to smoke your cigarettes and drink your liquor, but you want to go to heaven. And you want to just barely come to church, but you want to go to heaven. You want to give a dollar instead of a tithe, but you want to go to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more than just going to heaven. There's more than just that sweet rest. And so Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." There are two rests there, just like there were two lives. I've come that you might have life, that's salvation, and have it more abundantly, that's giving all to God. And I've come that you may have rest. He said, "Come unto me, I'll give you rest." That's salvation. But there, he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Now, what does that mean? That means that God offers you not only a rest of assurance, but God offers you the sweet rest of fellowshipping with Him and walking with Him. Illustration. I used to go down to the farm every summer and spend sometimes several weeks with my Uncle Roy down about 40 miles south of Dallas, a little town called Milford, Texas. Now, Uncle Roy had a... First time I went down, he only had one plow, and that's the plow you followed. And I followed an old mule many a times with that plow. And so many things can happen to you when you follow a mule. But anyway, you're not thinking. But anyway, I followed that old mule many times. Then Uncle Roy got a plow where he could set up on the plow. And he had the old mule. Now, that old mule knew Uncle Roy better than I did. That old mule had plowed. Uncle Roy had me sit up there with him. And that old mule would plow a furrow. Uncle Roy, sound asleep. Absolutely sound asleep. And he would plow a perfect straight furrow, just as Uncle Roy were awake. When he got down to the end, he'd turn around. Uncle Roy didn't have to do anything. He turned around. And he right beside that furrow, he plowed another furrow. You know why? He knew what Uncle Roy wanted. You know why? Because he had taken Uncle Roy's yoke upon him. He had decided to obey Uncle Roy. And he had obeyed and obeyed and obeyed and obeyed until he had as much fun plowing as Uncle Roy did sitting up there taking a nap. And do you know there's a way that you can know God? You say, how can I know God better? How can I know God better? By reading some poetry? No. Nothing wrong with poetry, but that won't help to know God better. Well, how can I know God better? By watching a sunrise or a sunset. Personally, I prefer sunsets to sunrises. But watching a sunrise to a sunset. No. I know what? Watching the beauty of nature in the woods, watching the trees and the flowers, and the leaves. How you know God better? You know God better when you take His yoke upon you. What does that mean? That means you go to work for Him. Go to work for Him. Now listen to me. And no more walking in and out, sailors. Listen to me. There is a rest that's wonderful. That rest of knowing I'm God's child. If I died, I'd go to heaven. But brother, there's a second rest that is even more wonderful. And that second rest is taking His yoke upon me. Now, illustration. Perfect illustration. I hadn't missed a Sunday morning here for, I guess, almost 25 years. And all of a sudden, I had to miss three straight Sundays. I tell you what, I was miserable. Now, I was a member of this church and I was saved, but His yoke was not upon me. I paced the floor. I didn't have a microphone, but I paced the floor, and I paced the floor, and I paced the... Why? Because His yoke was not upon me. Now, I was saved. If I had died right there walking the floor, I'd have gone to heaven. But if you came to our living room today and our dining room, you probably would see a path just like a bunch of kids make when they play ball on a pasture, on a field somewhere. I mean, I just paced the floor. Why? I didn't have rest. Why? I was supposed to be right here. That's where I was supposed to be. This is the yoke God has given me. And since I could not bear my yoke, I got Brother Colston. He's a big yoke. And I got Brother... But Brother Colston did a good job. And Dr. Cowling did a good job. And Brother Lapina did a good job. And Dr. Evans did a good job. And all the others did a good job. But this is not their yoke. This is my yoke. And I wasn't happy. Why? I was saved on my way to heaven. But bless God, I wanted my yoke. You're not working for God, you're not happy. There's a place where God wants you, and there's a job that God wants you to do. Jesus said, come to me that you might have life. I came to Him and I got eternal life, and I knew I was going to heaven. I started to go away. He said, wait a minute. Hey, there's more. There's more. There's another life. There's life more abundantly. I came back for seconds and found not only I'd go to heaven someday, but bless God, I found that heaven would come to me now. He said, come to me and I'll give you rest. I came to Him. He gave me rest. That rest of knowing I'm saved. No more laboring to save myself. No more joining the church to save myself. No more trying to pay my debts just to save myself. No more good works to save myself. I just rested in what He had done for me on the cross. Naught of good that I have done, simply to Thy cross I cling. And that moment I had the rest of God. I'm saved. Glory to God. I'm saved. He said, wait a minute. Hold it. Come back for seconds. He said, there's a second rest. And I say, is that second rest? Oh, yes. He says it's better than the first. Because it's in addition to the first. So I come to Christ and I take His yoke upon me. What's His yoke? I obey Him. I yield to Him. I turn when He says turn, stop when He says stop, go when He says go, and take upon myself the work that God has called me to do. I'll guarantee you, Brother Ray, when you take your little trips to Moab and Egypt, on your little business trips that you take, I'll guarantee you on Sunday morning sitting out in the pew when the choir sings, I'll guarantee you there's a restlessness in your soul. Guarantee you. You know why? This is His yoke. You're a big yoke. This is His yoke. And brother, when choir practice night comes, he misses it. And he's worried because he knows how good Chambers is. He's afraid the choir won't go way back when he comes. And but this is his yoke. Listen to it. And you say, oh, Brother Hiles, I'm going to quit my Sunday school class because I'm a little tired. No. The yoke doesn't make you tired. The yoke gives you rest. Jesus said, take my yoke. Now, here's this old mule. Nothing personal here. Here's this old mule. And the old mule is trudging along and pulling that plow. And the mule says, I think I want to retire. But he says, I want it's time I rested. Now, I got news for you. The rest is in the harness. The rest is in the harness. Jesus didn't say, take my yoke off of you and you shall find rest. He said, take my yoke up on you. Go to work for me. Tired of God's people. Every time they have some little illness, first thing they quit's God's work. I'm tired of doctors telling folks to quit God's work. Old Dr. Streeter, when I was sick, he said to me, I said, Doc, when can I go back? He said, when you feel like it. When you feel like it. I like that. I like that. Jesus said, come to me, and I'll give you life. I came and got life. He said, don't leave. I've got an abundant life. You'll give it all to me. He said, come to me, and I'll give you rest. I came and got the rest. He said, don't leave. I've got a second rest for you. Come back for seconds. I said, what is it? Take my yoke upon you. Go to work for me. Do what I told you, called you to do. There's a third thing I got when I got saved. That was peace. I came to Christ, I got peace. Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Bless God, when I got saved, Jesus had made my peace with God. Now, what that means is this. Because of my sins, I was alienated and separated from God. And God and I were at enmity with each other. But Jesus Christ came and lived and died and took upon Himself my sins in order that He might make peace between God and me. So I came to God and I said, "Oh, great! Peace has been made between God and me. I can come to God and fellowship with God. I have the peace of God. Peace with God." Jesus said, "Hold it. Hold it. Don't leave. Come back for seconds." He said, not only is there the peace with God, Colossians 3:15 says the peace of God. Now you listen to me. There are people all over this room, up here, here, over here, on this side, and some in the choir, all over this room. Yet you come to God for life, but you're not happy because you've not come back for seconds abundant life. You've come to God for rest, but you're not happy because you've not come back for the second rest. And you come to God for peace. But let me tell you, there's more than peace with God. I've got the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the peace that passeth understanding. Now why? Because there's a peace with God that comes when you get saved, but that doesn't give you the peace of God. And that, you don't have peace. People all over this room this morning, miserable. You come to church, you love Brother Hiles, but every time he gets to a certain subject, you change channels. Little kid sitting down. We have television receivers, monitors down in the chapel, and sometimes folks that can't come up here, they go to the chapel. One little boy was sitting beside his mother the other day, and I was preaching up a storm, and he said, "Mama, can we change channels?" And that's a lot of you tune me out. Why? I'm preaching about something you're doing. I'm preaching about something you ought to do. You're not doing. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to live that double life. Life for Christ, life in the world, Sunday morning for God, Saturday night in the world. You don't have to. You can have real, genuine, honest peace in your soul. You can cancel your trip to your nutcracker psychiatrist. Cancel your trip to your shrink. Cancel your trip to your psychologist. Cancel your trip to your tranquilizing bottles. Cancel it. Why? Jesus gives you peace. I was reading one day over in Isaiah 9. It says His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I decided to look up that word in the commentary, that term Prince of Peace, and bless God, I found it meant He's the tranquilizer. Jesus, wonderful Savior, my Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and He's my tranquilizer. Oh, in God's name, won't you get on in? Won't you quit playing religion? Won't you quit half in, half out, half on, half off? Why don't you decide to set out for God and have His peace in your soul? Jesus said, come to me, I'll give you life, but don't leave. I've got a second life, an abundant life. Come back for seconds. He said, come to me, I'll give you rest, but don't leave. He said, come back, I've got a second rest. I remain for the rest of the people of God. Come back, take my yoke upon you, and have a real rest. Come to me, I'll give you peace, but come back to me, I'll give you the peace of God in your soul. Listen to me. I am talking this morning about the very thing that everybody that took dope last night's looking for. I'm talking about the very thing that everybody that went to a nightclub last night is looking for. I'm talking this morning about the very thing that everybody that went out on the town last night is looking for. Every single drunk, every single cocktail that was sipped, every single bit of dope that was taken or smoked, every single trip to a nightclub, every single trip to an R-rated movie, everybody is looking for something, but bless God, I found it! You've heard me tell this story, but I want to tell it right now because I want to hear it. I was preaching up there in Hazel Park, Michigan. Hazel Park, Michigan. Years ago, Dr. David Allen was pastor there. His church auditorium, they have a new auditorium now, but the church auditorium was not air-conditioned. And they had windows on the side that they opened for a little current of air. I was preaching there on a Saturday night. And right outside the window over here on my right was a big freeway. Interstate now, I think. Big freeway. And I was preaching. I got carried away. I said, folks, I said, this is Saturday night. All over the world tonight, people looking for something. But I said, bless God, I found it. I found it. I found it. I said, we found it. We found it. And I got carried away. And I went over there to the window. I hollered out the window. The folks on here, hey, out there, I found it. I found it. I found it. Hey, out there, I found it. Finished the service. Signed some Bible. Shook some hands. Went out to go to the airport. Fellow drove up in a nice looking car. He said, I won't talk to the fellow that was hollering in there. I said, sir, we call that preaching. He said, you hollered, you found it, you found it. He said, you seem so sincere that you found it. I won't know what you found. I said, you hang on, brother. I'm going to tell you what I found. We found it, we found it, we found it. Oh, my soul in heaven, you don't have to be miserable. You don't have to go without the peace of God. God says, come to me and I'll give you life. But come back. Come back for seconds. I'll give you the abundant life. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. But hey, come back for seconds. Take my yoke upon you and do the thing that I've called you to do and I'll give you an added rest. He says, come to me and I'll give you peace. But he says, come on back. Come on back. I've got an added peace to give you. The peace of God to go with the peace with God. There's something else I got when I got saved. Our text a while ago, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Romans 10:1-3, much of it. Wait a minute. There are two righteousnesses. You know when I got saved, what happened? When I got saved, God imputed to me His righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. And on my record in heaven today is not my record, but Jesus' record. There's not one single sin charged to my record in heaven. Bible says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute righteousness or sin. And He will not. God does not mark down my sins. He marks them against Jesus, and Jesus paid for them. And as far as my eternal life is concerned, I'm justified in the sight of God Almighty. But He says, hold it. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold it. Hold it. You got my righteousness. Come back for some more. And you're not going to be happy until you come back for the second righteousness. Now, what is that second righteousness? It's living a separated life like God's people ought to live. Let me just put it down where you live, and let me give you a little Sunday night preaching right now. I preach Sunday night a little heavier sometimes because we have several thousand people aren't here this morning. They're on bus routes and other Sunday schools and working in junior churches and so forth. But I want to give you a little something. Exactly what it means. It means you come to church on Sunday morning and watch a video movie on Monday night. It means that you're going to live a mixed life and you're not going to have the righteous life and you're not going to be happy. It's exactly what it means. God not only wants to give you His righteousness, He wants you to live a righteous and holy life. Jesus said, I'll give you life. But don't leave. Come back for seconds. Don't just get well, get full. I've got life abundantly. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Behold it, don't leave. There's something else. I want to give you the rest that's left for the people of God, that remaineth for the people of God. That rest that comes when you put His yoke upon you. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. 3 weeks ago today, when I sat at our house at this very moment on Sunday, I was 10 times as tired as I am right now. You know why? Because this is rest. This is rest. Ask any mother what it's like to prepare a meal for a family if she loves the family. Most of you ladies, you feel better after you prepare the meal. After you've opened those hamburgers you got at Burger King. There's a certain rest that you feel then you don't feel if you don't provide for your family. Prepare the meal for them. But sometimes you even use the oven to warm the hamburgers you get at Burger King. Jesus said, let me give you another rest by taking my yoke upon you. He said, let me give you another peace. You came to get the peace with God. Come back. There's the peace of God. You came to get my righteousness. You got it. You're saved. But come back. There's a joy and happiness in living a life of personal righteousness yourself. And He comes again. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live in my body. He came to live. But Jesus says, hey, don't go away. There's more of Him you can have. There is His fullness. And I'm not going to get theological. We spend far too much time talking more of Him. Oh, use your own language. Just get His power. Get His fullness. He says, hey, there's a power you can have. A fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, brother. It was Friday. I got a little hungry and I wasn't going to eat lunch Friday, so I didn't. So I waited till 1:30. I'm on a diet. Had a little errand to run, and so I got in the car and I drove, and it's interesting. Just happened to me a McDonald's right there. And I said, get thee behind me, Satan. Until I saw that sign that says, New McRib Sandwich. Have you eaten one of those things? The Holy Spirit said, drive in. It wasn't who it was? Well, I was a sincere mistake. I thought it was he. I drove in. I got me a McRib sandwich. Of course, I had to have my tie and my shirt cleaned and pressed for all the barbecue sauce that fell on it. McRib sandwich, they say they cost $1.99 or so. They really cost about $6. The time you get cleaned and pressed and your shirt clean, your tie clean. Got it in? I took one bite of that McRib sandwich and I said, I think I'll live. Stopped and threw the rest of it in the garbage can. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. No. Something said, come back for seconds. So on the way back from that area, and I passed by the same McDonald's as God would lead. So I came back for seconds. That's what God says. He says, be full. You don't have to have just enough to keep you out of hell. Get full, He says. You get just enough life to keep you out of hell. He said, I'll give you abundant life, overflowing life. You got just enough rest to keep you out of hell. He said, I'll give you rest to your soul. You got just enough peace to keep you out of hell. God said, I'll give you my peace, all of my peace. I'll give to you. My peace give I unto you, not that the world giveth, but my peace I'll give to you. And he says, I'll give you my righteousness, but he said, I'll guarantee you if you come back for seconds and live a righteous life yourself, you'll be happier. He says, I'll give you my Holy Spirit, but he said he comes to comfort and he comes to strengthen and he comes to teach. But he says, hey, come back for seconds. You can have his fullness if you want it. And then lastly, I came to Calvary for salvation. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I came to Calvary and told Jesus I was trusting what he did for me there as my hope for heaven. And blessed be God, he forgave my sins and wrote my name in heaven. And because I came to Calvary, I was a child of God. Anybody here this morning who'll come to Calvary, I'll guarantee you, you'll become a child of God. But I turned to walk away, a child of God, name written in heaven, a new creature. And then I saw, hey, he said. I saw those nail-scarred hands waving, come back! Come back for seconds! And I came back. I said, what are the seconds? He said, you get sanctified the same way you got justified. He said, the way that you live the victorious life for me is the way you got saved. What do you mean, dear Jesus? He held his nail-scarred hands up and he said, remember how you got saved? You tried to save yourself, didn't you? Yes. You tried to work your way to heaven, didn't you? Yes. You found you couldn't do it, didn't you? Yes. What'd you do? I just came to Calvary and trusted what you did. Jesus said, okay, now the same way you got justified, you can get sanctified. Going to try to live a good life in your own strength? Yeah, it won't work, he said. You won't sanctify yourself by works any more than you justified yourself by works. There are two types of people here, I said. Time is gone. Two types of people here. You know who you are. You know who you are. Look, I'm not against folks coming to me for counseling. I'm not against it. But you know what I get weary of? I get weary of people coming to me for counseling who don't come back to church on Sunday night, who don't come back to church on Wednesday night, and take my time and take the time of other people that need me, and people that are not concerned about a spiritual answer. You come to me like you'd come to a psychologist. I don't have any psychological hope or help for you. I have Jesus. That's the help I have for you. And I guarantee you, much of the time I spend counseling would be solved if you'd just come back for seconds. People come to me having marital problems. I tell them what to do, they won't do it. I'll guarantee you, the way you'll have happiness, and most of your problems are caused because you're not happy. And the way you get happiness, you come back for seconds. You come to Jesus who said, come to me and I'll give you life. Hot dog, rah, rah. I've always wanted to know I'm saved and going to heaven. I come to him. He gives me life. He says, hold it. I got some seconds for you. You got a bite or two. Now I want to fill you. How's that, dear Jesus? He said, I want to give you life abundantly. And you get that life, you're happy then. I came to him and he said, trying to work your way to heaven. That's right. He said, come unto me, all you that labor. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about all you that are trying to work your way to heaven, all you that labor. Not talking about coming to me, all you that are tired because you plowed or were the carpenter all day or because you dug ditches. He's not talking about that. He's like, come unto me, all you that labor. He's saying, come unto me, all you that have been trying to work your way to heaven, and I'll give you rest. And I came to him. Hey, he said, I'm not finished yet. Come back. Take my yoke upon you. Serve me. And you'll find another rest unto your soul. I came to him. He said, come to me and I'll give you the peace with God. I came and got realized that he had made peace with God for me. He said, hey, don't leave. Come back for seconds. He said, I've got the peace of God for you. I came and took his righteousness. He said, don't leave yet. I have another righteousness to give you, a holy life. I came and I said, I'm coming to Calvary that I might be saved. And I did. Hey, he said, don't leave yet. That isn't all Calvary's for. He said, the same faith that caused you to get justified in my sight, that same faith
in me and reliance upon me, as Romans 12:1 said this morning, that same reliance upon me will cause me not only to do what I did for you when you got saved, to regenerate you, but he said, I'll give you that same power I gave you to regenerate you, to sanctify you, and you can live a holy and consecrated and dedicated Christian life. I ask you one question. Which crowd are you in? Don't answer me. Which crowd are you in? Answer yourself. Which crowd are you in? There are hundreds of people here this morning in this room. You have life. You have rest. You have peace. You have righteousness. You have the Holy Spirit. And you've been to Calvary. But you're not happy and you know it. You know who you are. You kind of get disgruntled and go to some other church so you can get disgruntled there. If the guy preaches anything, you might can find somebody that'll pussyfoot and you might enjoy it there. You might find some place that where the preacher will fit his sermons to fit your life. I somehow think you ought to fit your life to the sermons from the Word of God. But that's why you get disgruntled. Why you get unhappy. I've said before, you find any. I dare you to find anybody that's left this church that has the very same standards they had when they were here. Or I dare you to find me a church that they go to that have the same standards they have here. Your trouble is you're not happy. And the reason is you've got life, but not abundantly. You've got peace, but not the peace of your soul. You've got rest, but not the rest because you took the yoke upon you. You've got His righteousness, but not personal righteousness. You've got the Holy Spirit, but not His fullness. You have Calvary for salvation, but not for sanctification. Come back for seconds. Happiest times in the army. Come to think of it, the only happy times in the army were times when they said, seconds! Sometimes we didn't want them. I was on KP, kitchen police. I don't know if they still have it or not, but I was on KP. And in fact, we had 270 men in our company, and they came in and said, anybody here ever cook? And nobody cooked. And the commander said, okay, you are our cooks. Never cooked anything. One day I was on KP, and I lost my fatigue cap, that old greasy cap that you wear everywhere you go in the Army. Lost it. But when I was serving mashed potatoes, I found it. Slightly baptized with potatoes, but I found it. But that's seconds. You folks at Howells Anderson College, you love to come back for seconds. And the looks of most of you, you did go back for seconds. Jesus said, why don't you come back for seconds? Why don't you come back for the second peace? Come back for the second life. Come back for the second rest. Come back for the second righteousness. Come back for the second Holy Spirit power. And come back to Calvary. Would you bow your heads, please?